Please turn with me now to the Word of God in Exodus 4. I forgot to give the sermon information to Elder Portinga. So before we read, I'd like you to know that the sermon text this morning is the first 8 verses of Exodus 4. And the sermon theme is signs of deliverance. Signs of deliverance. And we're going to be looking, you can think about that as we read the passage. We're going to be looking at the two signs, at the double message of those signs, and at the one great lesson of those signs. Signs of deliverance, two signs, a double message, and one great lesson. We'll read through verse 23 of this chapter. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thine hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put thine hand into thy bosom again." And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow in speech, slow of speech, and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." And he said, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be Even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. I'm not going to read those first 8 verses again, but that's the sermon text this morning. Did you know, my dear fellow believers, did your children know that the history of Israel is our history, your history and mine? We have our own Egypt. We have an enemy, one of whose names is Pharaoh. We have had to go through the Red Sea by way of being delivered from our own Egypt. We have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and finally cross over Jordan into Canaan land. You heard that this morning in the introduction to the law of God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. God is not just talking to people who lived 3 or 4,000 years ago, but he's talking to you and to me when he says that. I brought you forth from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. That's even in our creeds. You turn to the confession of faith in the back of the Psalter, the article on baptism, Article 34. You want to look at it along with me. It's on page 51 in the back of the Psalter. But that article, teaching us what the Bible says about baptism, has this to say. I'm reading the second paragraph of that article about a third of the way through the paragraph, page 51. Not that this is affected by the external water. The water doesn't regenerate us from children of wrath unto children of God. Water can't do that, of course. Not that this is affected by the external water. This is the part I want you to listen to. But by the sprinkling of the precious blood of the Son of God, who is our Red Sea, through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, that is, the devil, and to enter in to the spiritual land of Canaan. Israel's history is our history. And that has to do with these two signs. They were signs that Moses had to bring to Egypt by way of showing Israel what God would do for them in delivering them. But because Israel's history is our history, they are also signs for us, signs of our deliverance. The deliverance that's mentioned there in Article 34 of the Confession of Faith. The deliverance that's ours through the sprinkling of the precious blood of the Son of God, who is our Red Sea, through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, that is, the devil, and to enter into the spiritual land of Canaan. So the subject this morning, as I already told you, is signs of deliverance. Two signs, a double message, and one great lesson. Those three things. Moses, at the time he was given these signs, had been 40 years in Midian, taking care as a shepherd of his father's sheep, and learning for 40 years to be the shepherd of God's people. After 40 years of preparation, God does things in His own time, doesn't He? But after 40 years of preparation, God was ready to use Moses to deliver His people and called him to be the deliverer out of that burning bush that was there, that God gave him these two signs of deliverance. But God gave them to Moses because even though Moses 40 years earlier had been very ready to deliver God's people, God wasn't ready, but Moses was. Now, 40 years later, he was reluctant and making excuses. That's the first verse of Exodus 4. Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. In fact, he continued to make excuses until God became angry with him. But it was in response to Moses in Exodus 4 verse 1 that the Lord gave him these two signs. The first, I think you children know the story, first involved Moses' shepherd's staff. God told him to throw it on the ground, and when it touched the ground it became a serpent, poisonous snake, and Moses ran away from it, as any of us would do. But God told him to go back and pick it up by the tail. And when he did, it turned again into that shepherd's staff. That was the first sign. But then, God told Moses to put his hand into the front of his robe or coat, the bosom of his coat, and when he pulled it out, it was covered with leprosy. But when God told him to put his hand back into the front of his coat, then his hand was healed. That was the second sign. And Moses had to take those signs to Egypt with him and do those signs in the presence of the people as proof that God had sent him. But also, and that's the important thing, also by way of showing Israel what God was going to do for them as their deliverer. That's why I've called these signs of deliverance. God showed in signs what he would do for Israel. First in Egypt, but then also during those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. You have any idea what those signs signified? As far as God's great deliverance is concerned? You have to understand that that serpent, Moses' rod turned into a serpent when he threw it on the ground, that serpent was Pharaoh. Pharaoh, as an agent of Satan. Remember, the confession of faith even identifies him with Satan. He was Satan's agent when he tried to destroy the promised seed by commanding that all the male babies be thrown into the river Nile, trying to destroy the promised seed and prevent the coming of Christ. As an agent of the devil himself, he's even called in Ezekiel 29 verse 3, he's called the dragon that lieth in the waters. Pharaoh is called that, identifying him there too with Satan. And Moses is commanded to go to Egypt. And in going to Egypt, he will do as God commanded him. He will take that serpent by the tail. And in his hands, and of course by the power of God, that serpent, Pharaoh himself, as an agent of Satan, would become the means of Israel's deliverance, would become that rod of deliverance in Moses' hand. That's the first sign. And he did. Not literally, of course, but figuratively, Moses went to Egypt, took that serpent, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the agent of Satan himself, by the tail, and he, Pharaoh, became the means of Israel's deliverance. Chasing them out of Egypt, chasing them to the shores of the Red Sea where they were baptized into Moses. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 10, and making it impossible for them ever to return to Egypt, even though there were times when they wanted to. The serpent became, in Moses' hand, God's means of delivering his people from the bondage and slavery that they had endured for so many years in the land of Egypt. You see? That was what the sign said to Israel. I will not only deliver you, but Pharaoh himself, who holds you in bondage, under my sovereign power and work, will become one of the means by which I deliver you. And in delivering you, he'll even make you rich with all the treasures of Egypt. He'll give you everything he has, he and his people, when you leave. Now that's a sign to us too. And it's a sign to us because we are in bondage by nature. I think you know that. Bondage that is 10,000 times worse than the bondage of Israel in Egypt. That was only a picture. The reality is that we by nature are slaves of Satan. And that slavery is without any end, except of course by the grace of God. And the wages that we earn in that slavery, as Paul says in Romans 6, it's death. But it's such horrible bondage too, because we love that bondage and want nothing but that bondage and enjoy that bondage and think that nothing else can be better. Until, of course, God in His grace delivers us. And so that sign becomes that sign that God gave to Moses when he changed his rod into a serpent and back again becomes to us a sign of what Christ did when he came to Egypt. This Egypt, the Egypt of this world, and took the serpent by the tail, if you will, and made him. Doesn't matter what you call him, the dragon, Pharaoh, Satan, there's many names, but made him the instrument of our deliverance. Using him and those who served him. The leaders of the Jews, Herod, Pontius Pilate, Judas, used them to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. The only way in which we could ever be delivered from that horrible spiritual bondage. Sign of deliverance indeed, isn't it? And not just of Israel's deliverance. That's the first sign. And of course, that's what God is talking about to Israel and to us when he says in the introduction to the law, I am the Lord your God. Brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and did that through one of whom Moses was a picture, but who was ever so much greater than Moses. But what is the second sign about that? talk about Israel first. What did that second sigh say to them? God would deliver them from Pharaoh, from slavery, from Egypt. That was the first sigh. But what about that other sigh? The leprous hand. Through that sign, God was saying to Israel that there was more to their deliverance than their release from bondage. That bondage which was a picture of our own slavery to sin. More than that. God was saying to them, when you come out of Egypt and go through that baptism of the Red Sea, you will find that you, the people I carry in my bosom, and Moses did that too, of course, on God's behalf. Just like that leprous hand, still sinful, still rebellious, still disobedient, still inclined to go your own way. And your deliverance, therefore, must include your own healing. Your own spiritual healing from the leprosy of sin. It's not enough that Satan's chains be broken, but you yourselves must be healed. And in all that lies ahead, all those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, through all your troubles, through all the trials of the wilderness, through all my chastisements, when you rebel and are disobedient, through all of that, I will be healing you. So that when finally you come to the borders of the land that I've promised, you will be ready to be in that land, my people, and I your God. And you know what? After Israel left Egypt and experienced its very first troubles, in the wilderness, at Marah, where there was no drinkable water, you know what God said to them? About all of that, about the trouble they endured there, He said to them, I've shown you here that I am Jehovah, your healer. What you've gone through here, what's happened here is part of my healing you spiritually. And that is part of your deliverance. Delivered from Pharaoh, yes, oh yes. But you must also be delivered from your own sin and sinfulness. And it's going to take 40 years of wilderness wanderings and all the trials of those wilderness wanderings to heal you. At Marah, at Rephidim, at Sinai, at Kibroth, at Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, on the borders of Egypt, in the plains of Moab, through all that happens, I will be Jehovah, your healer. That's what that second sign says. First applies especially to Israel's sojourn in Egypt. The second especially to those 40 years of wilderness wanderings. First, to their deliverance from the hand of Pharaoh. Second, to their deliverance from their own wickedness and sin. But both part of their deliverance. A double message of deliverance. And I think you can see how that applies to us too, how that remains even today a sign to you and to me. If we are indeed that people that God carries in His bosom, as He promises in His Word, carries from this world to the next, to that heavenly Canaan that He's prepared for us, and we must not only be delivered from our great enemy, Satan, but we must also be delivered from our own sins and sinfulness. From the presence of sin in our lives. Delivered from bondage? Yes, oh yes. But in the wilderness of this world, and through all those trials, temptations, struggles, difficulties, troubles, Jehovah is healing His people, His leprous people. Because that too must be part of their deliverance. And until they are healed, until you and I are healed of the leprosy of sin, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Heavenly Canaan. And God does that too. Through one of whom Moses was a picture. But who is greater than Moses? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who takes us to Marah, to Rephidim, to Sinai, to Kibroth, to Kadesh. Because through all that happens at those places, He heals His people. Wonderful signs, aren't they? As God said to Moses at Marah, I am Jehovah. Your healer. But I want you to think about that in connection with whatever trials, struggles you're going through, however hard and difficult your way through the wilderness may be. Think of it in connection with what's going on in the denomination. God's brought us to those places. In the wilderness of this world, brought us there to prove to us, as He proved to Israel, and as He showed in the sign that He gave to Moses, that He is Jehovah, the healer of His people. That's deliverance. That means, for you and for me, what the law says in its introduction. I am the Lord your God. That's the lesson of the passage too, the one great lesson. I am the Lord your God which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am Jehovah your healer. That you may serve me. You read that. In Exodus 4, Moses even had to bring that message to Pharaoh, though I'm sure Pharaoh didn't understand it. He had to say to Pharaoh, let my son go, that he may serve me. I am the Lord your God that brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Therefore, have no other gods before me. Therefore, do not make unto yourself any graven images. Therefore, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Therefore, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You must, because I command it, but do it, and do it as my people, whom I've delivered from the bondage of Egypt, and whom I've delivered also as Jehovah, your healer. You are not in Egypt. You understand that? You've been brought forth by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm to serve the Lord your God. To do that here this morning. To do that as married persons. To do that in your own home. To do that in your daily work, whatever it may be. And it really doesn't matter whether it's preaching from this pulpit or washing dishes. You must. And by that mighty hand and outstretched arm, you may and you will serve the Lord your God. You understand that? That's another way of saying, beloved, that's an issue at present. That God has delivered you from that depravity in which you and I once lived, which is ours by nature. That's the bondage. The bondage of sin and death. That awful depravity which means that we can do nothing for the glory of God and in His service. From that, and therefore also from the hand of Satan, we have been delivered to serve the Lord our God. The great lesson of these signs, then, is really what Paul says in Romans 6. Talks about our slavery. Our former slavery from which we've been delivered, though ye not, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Suppose that raises the question, why do I still sin then? I'm delivered from the bondage and slavery of sin. Why is everything I do still polluted with sin? I serve God, pray to Him, worship Him, serve Him in my place and calling. Why do I always do that sinfully? And the answer is that we're in the position of the slaves whom Lincoln freed many, many years ago, delivered from bondage. But still, when that old master walks by, we cringe and bow and listen to what he says. But that does not change the fact. That's the word of God in Romans 6. That we are free. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You are, aren't you? Fathers, mothers, husbands, wives. You're not the servants of sin anymore, are you? But the servants of righteousness? Servants of Him who shed His blood as a propitiation for your sins and who is your righteousness before God. Let my people go that they may serve me. And now, as you make your way through the wilderness of this world, that long pilgrimage, filled with fiery serpents, troubled with rebellion and disobedience and chastisement, full of trials and suffering and affliction, remember that in all of it, He is doing for you what He signified to Israel, but He gave to Moses that sign of the leprous hand, proving Himself, showing Himself to be Jehovah, your healer, so that you do serve Him. So with the small beginning of new obedience in the wilderness of this world, and come finally to Jordan, to the land that God has promised you there. That land of which the earthly Canaan was only a picture. A land that flows forever with the milk and honey of Christ Himself. Signs of deliverance. Take them home with you. Think about them. Take them to heart. As I'm sure you will. Our Father and our God, our healer. We thank Thee, Father, for the great deliverance that has been wrought for us, through the cross and by the Spirit, by all the saving work of Jesus Christ our Lord. We ask, Father, for the grace of the Holy Spirit, for the healing work of the Holy Spirit, that we may serve Thee faithfully, each of us in His place and calling, and until we come finally to our home in heaven. Forgive the sins that we have committed in speaking of these high and holy things. Forgive us all our sins, not for our asking, but for Jesus' sake. Lead us in the way everlasting. His name we ask it. Amen.